We're going to read some of those comics I gave you out of a book called Siblings Without Rivalry. How many of you know about that book? That book, if you would really go back to it and revisit it a bit, don't just read it once, is a fabulous book about how to handle fighting. So I'm going to take some of the comics out of that book. If you turn to page 3, 3 of 4, it says on this copy. It's a two-column copy. Turn to page 3 in the article. I'm just going to run down these tools. An emergency on their part does not have to constitute an emergency on your part. Just because they are screaming does not mean that we have to. Maintain emotional separation. It is much harder to parent if you take everything personally. Angry, reactive parenting adds fuels to the flames of rivalry. Remember that to parent is to teach, which requires presence of mind and patience, and by the way, sleep. I can't tell you the number of parents I see that I am telling you we are overtaxed. We're overtaxed, we're run down. We're not having rituals and meals together, we're not having meetings, we don't even have time to think, we're spinning. And it's a problem because you're much more prone to reactive parenting. When they're young, you're going to say, time out, ad nauseum. When they get to be teenagers, you're going to say, you're grounded. And that's going to be the only parenting you know how to do. Because to parent in a rich, resourceful way takes a lot of mindfulness and patience. Remember that ultimately your children, after about age 3, need to solve conflict. You are the facilitator and must remain calm and objective. With children who are pre-verbal, impulsive, hyper-reactive, and generally younger than 3 or 4, your adult physical presence is necessary. Skills such as diversion, taking turns, using words for them are worthy ways to model early problem solving. At all ages, please try to avoid sarcasm, negative labeling, manhandling, verbal or physical aggression, sort of becoming the Terminator, that's it, I'm taking away the truck. You can do that sometimes, but don't let it be your only solution. Or the totally irrelevant, that's it, no more television this week. We love to use television. Know that, because we know they like it. Know thyself and know thy child. If you are aware of why you rescue one child repeatedly over another, please pay attention. By rescuing and favoring, you may inadvertently limit that protected sibling from developing his or her own independent effective defenses. Furthermore, you risk your relationship with the child that is not the chosen child. Remember, I said that if in the conflict there is a moral reason to stand up for one child, you stole your sister's shirt and that's a wrongdoing. You can't just go in her room and steal a shirt. It's okay to do that, but then to still leave it in their court to solve it. How can we solve this? You can even still state the rules. We don't go into each other's room. You have to ask permission or knock on the door, and you can only go in the room when your sister's there. But you still do it in a calm fashion, not a reactive fashion. And you can still remember, give empathy to the younger one. You can also separate them and do it privately, which helps to not add fuels to the flames. Remember to wait, stay away, and observe. See how rivalry evens the playing field, or watch how they negotiate their needs and make deals themselves. I told you about what is fair is what you deem right. When consequences are necessary and privileges must be taken away, do it privately. Punishment for punishment's sake is ineffective. You're going to end up feeling helpless and unempowered as a parent. Make certain that the consequences fit the wrongdoing. For example, a child can earn money by completing a chore in order to replace the earrings that little sister lost. Don't forget to use restitution in chores. Push-ups for teenagers work well. Don't just rely on grounding and punishment. It really isn't effective. It doesn't teach much. Make them work a little harder than that. Normal bickering. Ignore it. I love this. Think about your next vacation. Tell yourself the children are having an important experience in conflict resolution. Leave the room if you have to. I know I have to. I don't have a temperament or a nervous system that can take the fighting very well. My husband handles it much better. I can hardly play board games with my kids because the loudness and all the rivalry, really. But he handles it beautifully, and he's okay with it much more than I. And when I say know thyself and know thy child, I'm talking about taking care of yourself. I will sometimes join in on those board games, but I don't want to end up reacting to them, or it's not fun for me. But they're having fun, and he's more relaxed about it. Level two, the situation is heating up. Adult intervention might be helpful. Acknowledge their anger. You too sound angry or mad. Reflect each child's point of view. We were talking about the right-right paradigm, win-win, they're both right. So Sarah, you want to keep on holding the puppy because he's just settled down in your arms, and you, Billy, feel that you're entitled to a turn too. Just take the time to validate each of them. What's going to happen when you validate people, just like when a friend validates you when you're emotionally up in arms and you're frustrated and you're angry, what happens physiologically? Ah, if only our spouses could do it. When we need to vent, we need the other person to do what? Do we need them to fix it or advise us or say, well, you know how I would have handled it is this. Makes you, it doesn't take that adrenaline away. So validate them and watch the emotion melt away. The validation is the real key. So you reflect each person's point of view, then you describe the problem with respect. That's a tough one. Two children, one puppy. Remember when I taught you how to hold up the mirror and be a coach, a sportscaster? That's all you gotta do. You don't have to fix it. You don't have to feel so anxious like you need these clever tools. That's a tough one. Two children, one puppy. Next, express the confidence in their ability to find the solution. I have confidence you two can work out a solution. I want you to say this even if you don't believe it. Because you don't believe it initially, but you got to fake it really good. That's fair. Come up with a solution that's fair if you have to walk away after you say that. Now, if it's a level three, and the situation's possibly dangerous, or if you've got one of these really reactive children that likes to be dramatic and bring the hysteria level and the emotional level really high, please recognize that as melodrama. We don't want to react to that, do we? Any more than we want to react to whining and we say, I can't hear you. Speak in a normal voice and then I'm happy to help. That's what you say. You don't even tolerate it. Well, when they get melodramatic, we gotta bring them down first, because you can't even do this intervention if they're busy flailing and being hysterical. So if you have to separate the reactive child and get them down, tell them, basically, I'm on your side, hang in there, bring it down, we can solve this. Trust me, we'll do it, come on, let's go back in the other room. You gotta get them down, they're busy screaming because screaming has worked. Don't let it work, because you're reinforcing it. And when it doesn't work anymore, just like whining, it doesn't work anymore. It's that simple. So, dangerous level, let the children know. You can go in. This is wonderful. She says, is this a play fight or a real fight? And your kids will tell you if they're just playing around. Sometimes they're not just playing around. They'll say, we're just playing around. And then, okay, if it's play fighting, that's fine, but it has to be mutual. You're both having fun. When the situation's definitely dangerous, Barbara is saying you can separate. But don't separate and quit. People use timeout the wrong fashion. They use timeout like punishment. They say, go away, timeout, and they don't finish the intervention. Timeout was meant to cool them down so they could think and then come back and use that little frontal lobe, solve something, rethink something. Timeout's not the end of it.